This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
When you tune into the show in the middle of an interview.
I had one of those hiccup burp things.
Uh-oh.
Have you had those before?
Sometimes it's the reverse, right? It's like it feels like going backwards and your eyes go.
You're listening to Kelly and Company on AMI Audio.
If you want to find us because you got to run around, you got to go out, maybe you're out. Well, make sure you download TuneIn Radio, Radio Player Canada app, or OOTunes, any of the three, and there's more out there, that you can find AMI Audio. Just do that, and then you can search for AMI Audio and listen to Kelly and Company. Once you got it in, once you got it stored and favorited, then you can listen to us at your leisure, wherever you are. Kelly McDonald, Ramya Muthan, it's hour two of the program. Oh, look at that, the gateway to the weekend. Halfway open. And to help us out a little bit more, Rum, and pushing it open, the guy we visit with on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Bill Shackleton. He arrives here with some items to talk about. We call it the buzz. Sir, buzz on in. How's things today?
Things are pretty good. I understand I got to 24 where you were yesterday. I'm thinking I got up to 18.
Big old seven, Billy.
Was it? Is that right, eh?
27. Outside, there were people complaining. Well, okay, so I was complaining. But the point is, it was really wonderful. And even when rain moved in later on, still really nice and glad to see it. It's so tempting, though, to get out there. And right now we all have to be smart about it.
It's a teaser. It's a good sign of things to come. But, yeah, I can hardly wait to get out there. So,
what are we starting with, sir?
The watchmaking industry. This is an interesting one. Actually, watchmakers go digital to show off new products and revise sales. You can imagine how the high... Now, this has to do with the high-end watchmakers. They're not overly fond of online shopping, of course, because they're used to people going into a store. You know, when you buy a high-end watch, you feel it, you try it on, you talk to the person behind the counter... And you get the idea of how it really looks. The other issue they're having is a lot of people are buying these cheaper watches and throwing them away. So when the battery goes dead, you throw them away. So the pandemic has really hurt these people. So they have had to rebrand how they sell. So what they've been doing is they held an event on Wednesday, where it was a webinar, I guess they're called, and they were showing watches on digital, so you could see what they look like and, you know, make believe, I guess, that you were trying them on. But there's really no substitute.
It's like a watch fashion show.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
You know, Bill, it's funny because I've stopped wearing watches because if I'm going to go out, which doesn't happen much, I'm worried about forgetting myself, especially back when this whole COVID thing started and we were watcher surfaces and stuff. I stopped literally wearing them, which is really sad because I had started to get some of my watches fixed that had been handed down to me, different things that I had, and I love them. I love having them. I think they're great, and it's neat because I've had some choices where for years it was the standard Seiko Braille watch or the old wind-up one that we used to get too, and that was it, Billy. And seeing this, it's so sad because there are so many different things out there and some being made with accessibility.
They are. And the thing about these, especially the high-end watches, is that you, even at the best of times, how many people are going to buy a high-end watch? I mean, unless you have...
It's a tough sell.
It's a tough sell. And even with the pandemic, it's even worse. I don't know how they're going to do it. As I said, they are forced to go digital, and there's really no substitute, in my opinion, for trying the thing on, but hopefully they're going to work it out.
Well, and I think a lot of time, Bill, we've had the order and people see that and they're comfortable enough with their wrist size of to do the ordering. I just think it's that scary thing about it and the reliance now that so many people just bother with their phone or their Google Home and Alexa when they're just sitting around and just not a problem to say things to them. Whereas, like I said, with myself, I just don't want to forget myself. Keep the watch on, touch it later because I came in without wiping it down. And how much of that can you do without, maybe compromising your watch, depending on the kind of watch? Yeah,
interesting. I guess that is the the factor about wiping it down. Actually, that was from Reuters.
Okay.
A couple of funny ones, sir. Miss Reigning World Champion got herself into trouble in Sri Lanka. She actually ripped the mask off of the Mrs. Sri Lanka pageant. So basically what happened was this was televised on Sunday. So the Mrs. reigning world champion, this is kind of, okay. Yeah, I know. She went up on stage and ripped the mask off of the Mrs. Sri Lanka.
The mask itself,
or the crown, I guess, eh?
The crown is what I'm seeing. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think so. She pulled the crown right off.
Yeah, she's the reigning.
Wow. Now, attack. She, okay.
Sound like a wrestling match. Wow.
Seriously.
Because, the mask mauler.
I don't think they were dressed for it though.
They are because basically the Miss Sri Lanka was accused of being divorced, so basically she's not. So, I mean, you can imagine this being televised right on TV.
Wow. It does sound like almost like a stunt for this kind of event. And, somebody come out and, and make that accusation, take that off and you're divorced in the Mrs. event. Whoa.
The thing, how popular are these pageants? Now, of course, in Sri Lanka, I guess they are fairly popular. I remember back in the day when you had pageants out, there was a Miss Canada, Miss Universe and all this sort of thing. So I guess they are fairly
in some places.
Popular.
I think people still like them. I find them. Oh, some things I find okay. Competition in some kind is all right, but I've not really ever found this kind of thing. I think it's demigrating. I find it hard on people, what people go through to be in these. So anyway, I digress. I don't want to get into all that.
But I mean, some of this stuff is just so tradition bound, like the pageants and city pageants and town pageants and I guess the world stage also. But the thing that spikes my curiosity here is she had the crown pulled off of her because she was allegedly divorced.
Yes,
so
well,
therefore,
it's only for married women.
That's right.
My goodness. Wow. Well, she was given the crown again, right, Billy?
Yeah, she was given the crown again, and the two women are going to appear in court.
Yeah,
so we'll see we'll see. The other thing about these pageants, as you say, they're degrading because only it's all about. We've talked about being skin deep. It's all about beauty. And it's all
that
about,
component. Don't get me wrong. I mean, are there things if someone's there are certain things I think are awesome.
Like the
if
talent
there's competition,
and other
but
things,
yeah.
Parts of it.
There's parts of things that I think are kind of neat if they're done tastily and all that kind of stuff. But the stuff of people's looks and everything like that, it just leads to negative to me. And maybe that's just me saying, well, and showing that off or penalizing others for a judge saying, oh, you're not as that person.
I
just struggle with that.
And I got to put in here also for women, especially because these competitions, a lot of them are women oriented and women centered. So there's that competition side of it, but I feel like it's in a very unhealthy way because you're now putting up the impression that you are the prettiest or you have the crown because you're supposed to be the prettiest. And that is definitely an unhealthy kind of, well, I should say it has resulted in too many years of unhealthy ways of doing this kind of competition.
And it negatively impacts everybody viewing it. Sorry, Bill, go ahead.
Is there any benefits to do they get money or is it just?
Well, yes, definitely money.
Some kind of status.
there's impressions, right? Yeah, like the status and the impressions that you get. What am I trying to say? Reputation that you get from there onwards. But money is usually part of the prize. And then, as Kelly was saying, there's aspects of it that are not necessarily beauty oriented. There's the, you know, talent side, the intelligence side, the questions that they ask you to see how you want to impact the future, et cetera, et cetera. But so many women who grow up with this stuff have other things to say about the detriments of it also.
Bill, I think we have a moment just to barely squeeze in your last one. I don't know if you want to hang on to it until Monday.
No, we can do it.
We got about a minute.
In New York, a woman lost her court case, not because of what the case involved, but because a judge, her lawyer didn't have a mask.
Oh.
Can you imagine that?
Oh.
She lost a court case because a judge, because her lawyer would not take the would not leave the mask on.
Wow.
So basically, the judge said, "Okay, you lost the case. This guy apparently asked to have, that if he could take his mask off because he had a problem." The judge said,
"So he didn't even take it off. He requested to take it off."
Yeah.
Wow.
That seems really wild.
That's really wild that would be the result. I could understand him saying, okay, well, we're banning this man from the courtroom and this trial has to be carried over. I can understand that. And in court costs, I could understand that as well, for especially inconveniencing the other parties. I can understand something like that. But to say, no, you lose. but I'm telling him, put the mask on. That's too bad. You didn't tell. But if I had forced it back on his face, you'd then say, and then the next case is assault because you forced the mask on him.
Yeah, it's how far is this going, this mass thing going, when you disregard the evidence in the case and you base it on the fact that you don't want to wear your mask. It's just crazy.
You just ban this lawyer from the courtroom. You say, unless he, and again, depending on his reason, in the sense of you can't have him there. So something's got to be done, which to me, you suspend it. Mm. And if he has to get another lawyer because this lawyer has some issues, maybe he's got a problem, a health issue that's rising. So thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. It's kind of a crazy story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we're going to see a bunch of that stuff. And as vaccinating goes on, I think we're going to get more of those questions and queries of, well, I think I'm okay with, but I do think we have to figure out what people are needing, where they're at when it comes to it. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Billy joins us Monday, Wednesday, Fridays right here on Kelly and Company. We call the segment The Buzz. He starts our second hour off. We're going to take a break. Ryan Hui, he's up next with the Chatty Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.